Welcome to Ryan Rants and Raves, a podcast series by the Quebec Government Office in New York. Bienvenue à Ryan Rants and Raves, une série de podcasts par le gouvernement du Québec à New York.
Today I'm with Mariko Ichikawa. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with me today, Mariko. First of all, can you tell me a bit about yourself so my listeners know who you are as we're sitting in Little Rock Center?
Yeah, I am currently the Senior Director of Digital Commerce at Hearst Luxury Commerce, and we just relaunched Shop Bazaar. So I have been here for about a year. My previous experience was in buying. I worked for stores like Bergdorf Goodman, Barney's. I was working for Altair Group in Dubai, and most recently Zalando in Europe.
Yeah, you do have that international background, which is exciting. But why did you enter the industry? And I guess, how did you get involved first off, the first place?
Funny story. So I definitely did not want to be a buyer.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Oh.
So when I was a kid, I always loved fabrics. And I picked up sewing, and then I wanted to be a designer. And I went to college, and we didn't have fashion design, but I studied fine arts, and I took classes at FIT at night, and thought I would become a designer. I did, I think, like a fashion design internship, and realized like all the fashion kids had like portfolios and all of this. I was not studying fashion design really, so I didn't have any of that. So when it came time to graduate college, I went into, business, basically, Macy's, Lord & Taylor, Bloomingdale's, they all came to do on-campus recruiting. I went to Penn. So they were recruiting for buying jobs, which based off of the sessions they had there, I was like, no, I'm not going to like that at all. I don't want to do that. So I did product development at Macy's, and I was working for Macy's Merchandising Group at the time. Right. And it was such a great training program. There were almost 40 of us in each training class, and you do these sessions, these rotations, classwork. It was really, really great training ground for retail.
Right, right. And then what brought you then to Dubai, Berlin? What brought you like to international?
It was always a job. I never ever expected I would live in any of those cities. But when I think I had been working at Bergdorf for like 7 years or something at the time, and sort of risen there, and then was recruited by the Emirati company, Altair Group. I never thought I would live in Dubai, but I went to visit and it seemed great. And so I moved there and I worked for them for almost 2 years. That's great. And then, Zalando, that opportunity came to me. We'd had a year of the pandemic and e-commerce was taking off.
Yeah.
And it was purely e-commerce company. I'd never worked for that. I had done e-commerce at Barney's. And I had just gotten my master's in digital marketing over the pandemic. So I thought,
that's great. Yeah.
Yeah. It kind of makes sense. Right. And like, maybe this will be good, a good use of my previous experience. So, yeah.
And what were like, because you were buying for different markets. So like when you're buying in Dubai, you're buying for different consumers.
Yeah.
You're buying even for e-commerce.
Yeah.
Zalando. So what were some similarities and differences in each role? And of course, the U.S.,
The products were quite different that I was buying. In Dubai, I was really focused on in New York, I was focused on designer ready-to-wear, women's designer ready-to-wear. In Dubai, it was more like couture, fine apparel, and evening wear. And then in Berlin, it was more like sportswear, premium brands. So quite different products. I don't know if there's that many similarities in the markets. I think like luxury customer is the same everywhere. Honestly, they might have slightly different tastes in like color, necklines, hem lengths, those sorts of things, but they pretty much always want something that looks more expensive than it is, no matter what the price tag is, and they have discerning tastes and they see everything. So it really has to be special and unique. And ultimately, every customer is like that, right? So even, you know, a premium customer wants a really great value and wants to feel special, wants something special. So it's just, you know, different categories. I think in all of my jobs, I've always been taught to understand the customer, you know, and really think about her or him, right? And think about what they want.
Well, and they are the most important because that's the business.
Without them, you know.
You don't want to get yourself in trouble. Something that doesn't sell.
I have to say, you know, that was a big part of, you know, the learnings at Bergdorf and being such a client-focused store. You know, their personal shopping team is amazing. And they taught me a lot, you know, as I was an assistant buyer. Kind of, they would call me in sometimes to some of their appointments, and I learned a lot from them for sure.
You mentioned this personal shoppers at Bergdorf, and I had spoken to someone at Bergdorf, and they're like, "Oh yeah, the personal shopper just called me and said, you know, they want earrings like this, and then just like goes out and finds that product, and maybe just for one client can buy the, you know, I've been on the South Shore, so I think that's interesting, the team building.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, even just like getting their feedback on some of your buys and hearing from them like, oh, this is why this, you know, this is why this level of customer wants, you know, X, Y, and Z or whatever.
Yeah. Amazing. And so now let's like jump forward to where we are in the present, because you're doing something really cool at Hearst. That's tied to e-commerce, so it's kind of tied to this, you know, you're about your master's in. So can you share a bit about that and what's going on there?
Yeah, so we have launched or relaunched Shop Bazaar. So Shop Bazaar is the luxury marketplace associated with Harper's Bazaar magazine brand at Hearst Magazines. And it's a really exciting time at Hearst. You know, Hearst corporate overall has really been doubling down on marketplaces and e-commerce. They've built out an entire corporate e-commerce team and brought in people from Amazon like April Lane, Robert Gash, Jeannie Baruta. They're all leading the overarching e-commerce strategy and architecture of all of the marketplaces for all of the magazine brands, of which we are the first. Even around before them, we are replatformed and we're sort of working towards this goal, which is really exciting.
No, and I do think it is very exciting to evolve the whole entire magazine to another level and create that experience for them, like A to Z.
Yeah. There's other marketplaces out there, right? There's plenty of marketplaces. I mean, everybody seems to be doing marketplaces these days, right? I mean, it's, but I think, you know, what we offer that is different is the brand, right? I mean, you know, Harper's Bazaar is a trusted magazine brand. And so we are offering this like curated marketplace with the added leverage of Hearst first party data.
Yeah.
It's a great sales channel for customers. It's a compelling sales channel for, you know, partners, like vendor partners. It's really exciting. And I think quite different from anything out there.
I would agree with you. As much you mentioned, there's tons of marketplaces, but there is a big point of differentiation, and that's what's important. But can you talk about, you know, how it will be curated, or how it is curated, you know, this marketplace?
Yeah, the curation is meant to reflect, you know, the attitude and the energy of the magazine.
Yep.
So, you know, I mentioned that we've replatformed, so our new designs, I would say, feel much, you know, much closer to Samira's Harper's Bazaar. I think, you know, it feels very modern, very fresh. And we've really thought about it as a retail shop first and foremost. So it means not just looking at our vendor assortment, but also product category coverage. We've really been able to look at what our audiences are interested in and our customers are interested in and make sure that we have products like that available. So we've really increased, you know, luxury home goods on the site. Yeah. We've brought on ABC Carpet and Home as a partner.
Very cool.
And, you know, we're also bringing in designer kids wear. So we can do a little Dolce Gabbana mommy.
Yeah. That'll be exciting for the holidays. Mm-hmm. Big and big, small. And then, you know, since, you know, you're constantly on the market, what trends are you seeing for that, or that we might see later on the marketplace as well?
Well, I would say right now, I mean, it's still summer.
It is still summer.
And I think we're at the tail end of sales still. But what we're seeing on the new site is that there continues to be an appetite for designer goods, which is not surprising to me because I've always worked in luxury. And even when everybody wants to say that the world is ending and nobody's going to shop anymore, it always seems like the luxury customer does. So, you know, we are continuing to sell designer goods, especially from one of our new partners, Adam Lippis. So that's exciting. We've also seen a lot of neutral colored bags sell, a lot of, you know, inexpensive sandals under $500 that you'd normally see sell in the summertime. But I'm really excited to see what fall will bring, because it seems like there's still an appetite for shopping. People want to spend and get dressed up and have a reason. And, you know, we're more than happy to give them a few.
When you're doing the mini me, or not, I won't say mini me, but the, you know, the parent and child, and it's back to school. So that's,
we've just, you know, that's like a new foray for us. And I don't think that I know that the Shop Bazaar team was like, what are we doing? And but, you know, now that we have the ability to do it, it's very cute.
I can only dream, I should say, at this time. So so now I do want to chat about, you know, like, because you interacted with several vendors. Mm-hmm. So what do you usually look for in the brand, and what are some good things that vendors have done when you interacted with them, like some best practices?
I would say the merchant in me wants a well-made product with a strong price value. I would say the designer in me wants it to be beautiful and functional.
Yeah.
And I would say the marketer in me wants a good story behind it.
Or the story.
Man, you know, I can't say, you know, we sell from our content. You know, we are about storytelling, and we know that it helps sell products. So I don't know. It's like the perfect trifecta, right?
Yeah, exactly.
We are, you know, and maybe that's a reflection of customers these days. And, you know, everybody just has to take it up a notch. Yeah.
No, I agree. You want to know what you're buying, mm-hmm. like what's behind it. Mm-hmm. And I do want to talk about sustainability, because that's a huge problem. But why is it important for us to address that in the industry?
All know that how much waste there is in fashion. I think it's pretty, it starts being obvious, you know, markdown time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think we've all seen more and more press around the waste and pollution tied to the textile industry. So I think it's important that companies take it seriously. And I think, you know, they are, right? Or they're trying, rather. I don't know. Maybe not everybody is.
There's a lot. I think personally, I told someone they disagree with me. I think there's still a lot of brainwashing. I think so. So easy to say you're sustainable.
Yeah. I will say Hearst Tower, I think, was the first LEED certified building in the city.
Really? Okay. So the company is, that's great.
Yeah. There is a strong commitment to sustainability.
And if you think about, you know, if your customers design, usually the designer is more sustainable mm-hmm. because the cost just to be sustainable is mm-hmm. higher. Mm-hmm. So,
and we've also brought on some of our resale, you know, our vintage.
Yes, exactly.
You know, so yeah, we're committed to extending the life cycle of, you know, luxury products for sure.
And that doesn't put any, you know, doesn't pollute the environment at all, because they don't create it. So
that's right.
Extend the life. So the name of the podcast is Rants and Raves. Do you want anything to rave about or rant about? A lot of people don't like to rant. I don't know why. maybe it's because I'm talking to the right people and not negative Nancys. I have one rant.
I don't like it when people say, oh, it's just fashion. We're not saving lives. Like, don't care. Well, one, I care a lot about fashion, yeah, of course, the business. But I also am like, you know, yeah, we're not saving lives. Like, don't cry about your work, but have, you know, pride.
Yeah.
You know, Bernard Arnault is the wealthiest man in the world. Louis Vuitton and the rest of his portfolio of brands are a huge part of that. And, you know, fashion and brands are a big business. Yep. So take it seriously.
It's a big business. And if I think about, let's, you mentioned, you know, LVMH, but, you know, it's an export of culture. You know,
yes.
That is complete, like, the know-how, the French culture.
Yeah.
You know, and a self-identity.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you identify? And I think you should care. I mean, personally, I think you should care about how you are perceived by others, because
yeah,
you are expressing themselves non-verbally.
Yeah.
By what you wear.
Definitely.
And if you're really mad, you can wear a t-shirt saying, like, how pissed off you are. Like, that's a very good one. I like that.
I also have a rave to balance it out.
You know,
we can't just end on a negative. I have to rave about my team at Hearst, obviously, of course. It's not a secret that the magazine business has been, like, department stores, challenging,
yeah,
say the least. But, you know, despite this sort of ever-changing, like, business model, climate, you know, I'm really grateful to work with so many talented, experienced, and truly visionary leaders. Yeah, I think it's much more common to see editors sitting in fashion offices than it is for, like, me, a retailer, sitting in magazines. But, you know, I really appreciate the warm welcome everybody's showing me.
Oh, it's amazing. Well, I would say, and my experience interfacing with you guys, it's always been positive. So it's been great.
Okay.
So if that's a reflection.
We try.
Now, I always like to end, because you have also have, like, experience launching your own brand, correct?
I do. I have
mono brand, right?
I do. I have a upcycled kimono.
Yes, all upcycled. So
yeah,
that is not doing anything bad to the environment and stuff.
Yeah.
So, but do you have any advice to the industry? Because my listeners are those who are more established in the industry, but also those who are just starting to launch their own lines. So I would love any advice that you can share to the industry as a whole.
I guess I can say that I believe that humility, hard work, and, like, a results-oriented mindset, that's what I try to always hold and to, like, guide myself, both in my own upcycled kimono line and you know, in business at Hearst. So I think you just remember you're solving a problem for somebody, whether it's a real problem or or a problem, you know, that they're just, you know, they want to feel about something. Putting yourself in their shoes or trying to see from another, you know, from their point of view, I think can really help guide you towards the right solution.
Well, I think, like you mentioned, like, look at the result, looking forward,
because
that's true, because then that's how you find what's the purpose at the end of the day. If you lose your purpose, then
you're ikigai.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, this is all I have, you know, for you today. But this is a fun time.
Thank you. I had a great time as well.
Thank you.
Merci d'avoir écouté Ryan's Rants and Raves. Suivez-nous sur Instagram at Ryan's Rants and Raves. Thank you for listening to Ryan's Rants and Raves. Follow us on Instagram at Ryan's Rants and Raves. À très bientôt.